Good afternoon. My name is Brad Dunn, or Bradley. I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee. As Tim said, I've been coming to SOOJ pretty often since 2003. I appreciate the ability to speak here today. I would like you to know I'm not that good of a speaker, but I do believe I can get my point across. And I'm going to go through a little bit of slide action here, and then I'm going to just kind of talk to you. As it says, the goal that we have to do now is we have to take hold. We have to do what is correct. I've been doing this since 1994. I don't think I've really done that well, to be honest with you. And I'm getting older now, and so I need to learn how to do it better. So taking hold is for me. I'm not telling y'all to take hold. It's really as much for me as it is for anybody, okay? And I'm going to say some things today, and I will expect feedback later, okay? I'll cover that more here in a bit. But basically, right here we have in Zechariah 8, it says, "Thus says Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with a staff in hand because of great age, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets." One thing I like about coming to something like an SOOJ is you get to see all the little kids playing and things like that. I don't have any children. I never have been married. Actually had three women that over time approached me about the possibility. It was a choice not made. And I'm not saying that there's anything negative towards them. It's just a situation where what I'm coming at from today, first of all, it doesn't have to be that I'm married or not, okay? But as a male, I'm required very strictly and directly to pretty much be perfect. And any responsibilities I have, not to dismiss the responsibilities of women or anything like that, you have to be in a level or a role that is very, very strict and direct to do correctly, okay? I don't think that it's a situation where I can be casual about this. Over time, I think I've learned a little bit about that. A lot of it was when I was able to talk to people in the assembly and be in a discussion, which I'm going to talk a little bit about. Basically, though, that's the key that we're looking at right here. And going to the next slide, who does this apply to? A lot of people think, well, I'm special, it applies to me, all these people, if they even make it, we'll learn later, okay? What it says in Romans 9, verse 8, it says, "It's not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the offspring. For this is what the promise said, 'About this time next year I will return, and Sarah shall have a son.' And not only so, but also when Rivka had conceived children by one man, our forefather Yitzhak, she was told, 'The older will serve the younger.' As it is written, 'Yaakov I loved, Esau I hated.'" That basically turns on its ear what we learn from the scriptures pretty much from the beginning. The oldest son is the one who's supposed to carry things on. The Creator does what the Creator does. And so we learn whether it is the oldest son or whether it's being turned over to someone else. Also in Romans 9, moving to verse 23, why is all this happening? "In order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory, even us, who he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. As indeed he says in Hosea, 'Those who were not my people, I will call my people. And her who was not beloved, I will call beloved.'" That's in Hosea 2:23. Also, "And in the very place where it was said of them, 'You are not my people,' there they will be called sons of the living God." That's a pretty big deal. That's from Hosea 1:10. I'll go to a story real quickly. I was born with a bad heart valve, and they knew when I was a little kid that I'd have to have it replaced. And it was very frustrating because I was pretty athletic and I couldn't do all that stuff. You know, I played outside and stuff like that, and even my mom would get on to me and say, man, you need to quit doing all that, but I wouldn't do it. You know, I knew when to slow down and things like that. I was able to be a place kicker on my football team my senior in high school, and we did very well. We went to the state semifinals. But it always grated on me that I couldn't do that. The Creator doesn't care about that. I'm there for a reason, okay? And I told my dad one time, I think it was about a year ago, I said, you know what? I was thinking one time, and it was talking about, you know, the Messiah healed, and his disciples were saying, you know, what was wrong? Was it his parents' sin? Was it his sin? What was going on? He goes, he just got healed because that's what we're going to do is we're going to heal. And I thought about it because it's always been a bit confusing to me about, wow, could a guy have his sin already attached to him when he's born as an innocent child? And it's kind of funny because I told my dad that, and I was like, I wonder if God, because he knew who I was going to be, made me this way. And Dad was kind of like, wow, that might be true or whatever. Thing is I told my mom later, my mom had a stroke back in 22, 23, and my mom was always in excellent condition. She was very, very brilliant. She didn't like being in a nursing home. I didn't like visiting her because I didn't like seeing that. But I told her what I told my dad one time. And what's funny about it is she just laughed because that's the way my mom was. I love my mom. She was awesome. But I am what I am. And so I have to do well. It's what I was given. And so whatever I have to do, I have to do. I have to overcome. I have to be better. It doesn't matter what I think. It's what I have to do. So moving on to Romans 11, because I think I may be chosen to do something. In chapter 11, verse 25, it says, lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Yaakov, and this will be my covenant with them, and I will take away their sins. Okay, that's a cool group to be in right there, okay? So that's good. Maybe we have a little bit of heads up on people, but being the first fruits has a lot of responsibility to it, okay? What I'm saying, though, is everybody in this room should be having this opportunity. I do not exclude, because I cannot exclude anybody if I wanted to. There are people who are the sons of Israel, whether they came from Yitzhak or not, and Yaakov. There are people who are sons of Israel if they came from somebody else, because the Creator chose that. Just like when I was a kid, my parents chose something. Guess what? We're doing what Joyce and Jim said, okay? We're not doing what Brad says. We're doing what Joyce and Jim said. And I learned that a lot because I kept on trying to do the wrong thing. But the truth of the matter is, they were right, just like the Creator. And he's even perfect, so he's even better at it than they were. Now, moving on, finishing up Romans 11. You've got a situation. All of this description that I read, and of course I left a couple of verses out, but you can read it. Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord and who has been his counselor? All right, so I'm going to switch gears now. We're about to have to do something. We're supposed to be doing it right now, but if we're not doing it, we need to start. And if we're doing it, we need to continue and do it better. In Leviticus 11, chapter 44, it says, for I am Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy as I am holy. Okay? We have to do like he does. Okay? John 14. This is Yeshua HaMashiach, who he still is, Emmanuel, God with us, okay? In John 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Okay, so we've got an advantage then, because if we're chosen first fruits, then we have something that other people don't have at this time. They do still get gifts from the Creator, but they don't have what we have been blessed to have. That's a huge, big deal, and we need to take our responsibility and not take it lightly. It's the firmest thing we've ever known. In John 15, it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I understand y'all all know this, but this is obviously telling us we are supposed to be exactly like the Creator of the universe. We have no excuse not to be. We can do it. And so we need to start. We need to continue if we've already started. I, myself, need to redouble efforts on my part, okay? What does it ultimately end up in? Just like I said, go to John 10, chapter 10, verse 30. I and the Father are one. Okay, if he's one with the Father, then I'm supposed to be one with the Father too. And there is no excuse that Brad gets to have. Just like when I was a kid, I couldn't tell my mom, well, I couldn't do that. She's like, yeah, you could. You knew it. You need to go out and do it. It's what you need to do. And Dad's over there going, it's like, why are you not listening to your mom? It doesn't work. You can't persuade them that you can't do it. Or it's mainly you don't want to do it. That has to go away. That has to go away. And if we're going to end up in the streets of Jerusalem, and the kids are going to be playing and we're going to be at peace, then we individually have to get to the point that we know how to do it. Not this person over here, not this one over here, not that one over there. That's not going to work. If we're the first fruits, then the first fruits are going to act together. I'm going to touch on that a little bit more. Once more, I did it before. This goes back to I and my Father are one. Keep my commandments as I keep the Father's commandments. In Matthew 5:48, it says, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Okay? The Messiah could say, I and the Father are one. He was perfect. Okay? But he still talked about his Father in heaven because he was on the earth, this scummy, dirty earth that we messed up. And so he couldn't take that high position, although it's way higher than we ever have had. We have to get like he is, though, now in this life. He said, he didn't make that up. He said we have to do it. So the job for Brad is to actually go about being that way. Okay? That's what we have to do. He expected of Abraham. He expected of Moshe. He expected from John, Peter, everybody. Okay? That's what we have to do. Once again, in 1 Peter, I forgot my chapter. I think it's 1. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy as I am holy. Okay, we're back to the Old Testament again, the Tanakh, the Torah. That's what we are. So we've got to do it. There's no way out. And again, this reminds me of when I was younger, my parents, my mom in particular, it's like, Brad, why are you not doing this? You know you're supposed to do it. Get out there and do it. You can't say, Mom, well, I couldn't do it. It's like, yes, you can. You just need to do it. So that's what I am responsible of doing. Why do I say this? Well, it goes back to the Torah again in Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. This is about the entirety of the Torah, okay? And I know there's a little bit left in the chapter of the Deuteronomy. There's about, 20 more chapters. But it says, this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you. Neither is it far off. A lot of people seem to think, well, I don't know. That's something we don't know if we can find out. We don't know if we can figure out. Well, that's wrong according to what Deuteronomy 30 is telling us here, okay? It's not in heaven that you should say, who's going to ascend to heaven and bring us back to us, that we may hear and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth, in your heart, so that you can do it. I'm going to talk a little bit about that more here in a minute, okay? There are warnings for us if we're not going to do what God says. There are warnings if we're going to teach other people what God does not say. It's in the Torah again, Back in Devarim, chapter 13, verse 1. If a prophet or dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods which you have not known and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Going to another warning in Devarim 18, starting in verse 19, it says, whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. That's whether you're standing up here like me or whether you're talking to your neighbor or even walking around on your own and I'm, like, say, not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm basically telling the Creator, this is what I do. When I was a kid, that was a good way to get in trouble with my parents, okay? Very good way. And it took some time, but over time I learned that you don't do that. And I will tell you this, I think the spirit of my parents went with me when I was out, because the last thing you wanted to do was get in trouble when you weren't around your parents, okay? Wait till you come home. Let me tell you a quick story on that one time. This is Brad being dumb, okay? I was in about eighth grade, and I was in a Church of Christ school, and it was recess. My friend Pat did something that made me angry. So what did I do? Extended my middle finger towards him. The coach, who was being, you know, he's the teacher in charge at that point in time, Pat goes, Brad Dunn just shot a bird. I'm like going, oh my gosh. He turns around and goes, what? I got to take a letter home that day. And who did I give it to? My sister had a track meet. And so I got in the car with the letter and I handed it to my mom. And she, oh my gosh. She opened it up and I mean, wow. She didn't do anything. But the whole day at the track meet, I'm sitting there on the bench going, when I get home, things are going to happen bad. I went home, and she goes, go to your room. And I went down there, and I'm like, she comes down with my dad. My dad was not weak at all, okay? But I want to tell you something. My mom was easy as strong as any human being ever in the history of the world. I was sitting there. She comes in. Dad's right beside her. And, I mean, you know, he's looking at me like this or whatever. And Mom looks at me. She goes, that's not going to ever happen again, is it? I was like, no, ma'am, not at all. But I got up and left. And I was like, dear Father in heaven, thank you. That was the spirit of my parents. I think it's kind of like the spirit of the Creator. And I think, I'm not a parent as I told you, but that's what I would love to have children for. I would love to have a daughter and a son and a godly wife, because to be honest with you, if, you know, the wife gets on the kid or whatever, you know, I want to be the good guy in this case. Not always, but the thing about it is you're sitting with your kid and you're like, okay, the kid's like 1 or 2 years old. It's like, now why did you do that? Not really understanding why you did that. You know that your mom and I have taught you millions of times that we don't do this, but you did that. And the kid's going, like, you know, squirming around or whatever. I'm telling you, though, that those kids, they pay attention. They learn. I think that would be fun, although you want your kids to do well all the time. But they are not going to do that. And it's like you getting to be the Creator. I think that's kind of neat. I mean, I really do. And, yes, you can do it with your brother, but it's, to me, different. You got your kids or whatever. It's like, you know, seriously, what's going on here, bud? You know, we don't understand the attitude. The thing about it, in these things right here, it says, this is serious right here, okay? We're not back in the mother-father-kid land right now, okay? It says in Deuteronomy or Devarim 18, 19, whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, and prophet means somebody who may prophesy the future or teach right now, okay? Anybody who presumes to speak a word in my name according to the Creator of the universe that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. In Devarim 13, that I just read in Devarim 18, you've got a situation where if I say things incorrectly, not just if I do them incorrectly, but I say things incorrectly, it doesn't have to be me standing right here. It could be just if I'm talking to one of you. I'm guilty of death if I do that. There is no way around that. But what do I do? I didn't put this slide in there, but if you'll read in Ezekiel or Ezekiel 18, I believe it's in verse 22. If I stop doing the wrong thing, the Creator says, I'm going to forget it. And I can get that because when I was a kid, my parents would be that way. It's like, you know, they still love Brad. I wasn't dumb forever. It was like, I got in trouble, but hey, I'm still their kid. They did something. They put something into it, is what I'm saying, okay? And I think our Creator does that. We kind of, I think, may blow that off a bit sometimes. He actually cares about His creation. So we need to not mess it up, and we need to remember that if we do it wrong, look, if you ever said anything wrong to somebody about teaching them something incorrectly, or if you have been consistently incorrect on it, all we got to do is stop. It's all we got to do is stop. Start doing what the Creator said do. Okay? Going to Matthew 5 now. Why are we doing all this? And then we got some directions coming in. In Matthew 5 it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the Torah or the Nevi'im," that's the law or the prophets. "I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota nor a dot will pass from the Torah until all of it's fulfilled." Okay. You can't argue out of that. And if you want to go look in the International Critical Commentary, it's kind of like a big Protestant commentary from years back. I've actually read about it, what it says about Matthew 5. And the Protestant person who wrote this said that you cannot get away from what that just says, okay? Whether anybody likes it or not is irrelevant. You cannot get away from what it says. And a Protestant who wrote it admitted it, okay? The Torah is forever, at least in this world. Okay? All right. Moving on. Let's see. Go to 19. "Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Okay, there's a couple of things that I'm going to talk as I go through the rest of this about that. We need to understand something. I'm not reprimanding anybody, but for instance, I've heard the Jewish prayer before when it says, you know, you thank the Creator going into the Sabbath for commanding us to light the Sabbath lamp or the candle. We are not commanded to do that. We're commanded to be a light unto the world, okay? In other words, the prayer might be adjusted to be more accurate to say, thank you for commanding us that, but we probably need to pray it every day, not just going into the Sabbath, okay? I don't want to critique anybody here in a negative way if that's something you've done. I think we need to be more consistent and more direct and more accurate with that statement. The candle's great, don't get me wrong. Light a Sabbath candle. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? In fact, I've written an essay that dealt with another topic that talked about the response against Pharisees, but the people that were responding against them would not even light a candle at all on the Sabbath. That's another dumb way to look at that, if you ask me. Be a light. You want to have a candle for Shabbat, light your candle. Don't think that you're commanded to light the candle. Understand that we're commanded to be a light into the world. That's a lot different. It's a lot bigger. And it's a huge responsibility that I, Jay Bradley Dunn, am not really good at. It's irrelevant. I have to be. I have to learn how to be good. All right, moving onward. In Matthew 23, it starts out in verse 1. Yeshua said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moshe's seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but do not the works they do, for they preach, but do not practice." Okay, I'm going to cover more on that here in a minute. In the rest of chapter 23, he absolutely goes and obliterates the scribes and the Pharisees. Okay? To be honest with you, I probably fit in there somewhere too, so I don't think I'm excluding myself from them. I think we all need to watch what's going on. The truth of the matter is, in Matthew 5, I just read it, the scribes and the Pharisees, we have to do better than they are, okay? But I'm going to tell you this, There's no other group that he put in front of them, okay? You know, some people think, well, maybe the Essenes were great. Some people think the Sadducees were great. He gave no credit to those groups. He said, be better than these guys. And I'm saying right now that if there's a group of people that was pushing forward something about some idea that was supposedly correct, he should have included them, but he did not. Okay? That may be an iron sharpens iron thing. I'll talk to people about it later, okay? Moving forward, I'm going to start with the first thing that we have to do, and that what I've noticed in these many years to me that I've been in this. That being said, I think I'm on my 32nd year, okay? But that doesn't mean I'm a wise guy or a wise old man, okay? I do think I'm blessed with some knowledge, and we are now going to get into a little bit of iron sharpening iron, okay? So what I'm going to say is this, and I don't want to be disrespectful at all, but men, I want to talk to you. I'm going to take a precedence that Mr. Tim Kelly used back in 2013 where he said, I want to talk to the men. That's what I'm going to do now, okay? Ladies, I'm going to ask you to do this, if you will. If I have to answer your questions outside or at other times, I will be happy to do it. But I'm asking you to, number one, if you can, talk to your husband, and he will communicate with you, because whether you and I like it or not, men are the head of the family, okay? That does not diminish women in any way whatsoever. I wouldn't give up my mom for anything. The Messiah was born by a woman, and a very godly woman, okay? So what I'm saying is, I ask you to talk to your husbands about it, okay? If, for instance, you don't have a husband here, I'm not the guy for you to come to first, okay? I'll talk to you about it later. But, for instance, you have a congregation probably, right? Okay, for instance, Mr. Tim Kelly. I say, see about talking to Mr. Tim Kelly. If Mr. Tim Kelly has something against me or something against what I said, he will let me know, okay? And I will say, then we need to talk about it. We need to sit down and we need to go over this. And I mean that. I am only blessed with the knowledge that I have that is correct, and I am telling you that I must be perfect because I'm required to be. That's it. So I'm not trying to play any games with anybody, and as you can tell, I'm not going to be a great congregational leader, okay? I'm a layman, and I always will be. I don't care to be an elder. Don't care to be a deacon. I care to assist. The only thing I would love to have is, and I'm 58 years old almost, so I doubt it's going to happen, but it would be wonderful to have a godly wife with at least a son or a daughter, okay? But I get what I get, and so that's what I have to do, all right? But understand that I really am going to cover this more, but understand that what we're doing here is perfect. The first thing that I'm going to talk about in this walk that I've learned, and it's something that I always knew, except I had to reduce it a little bit. Who is our Creator? Who is our Creator? Everybody knows that the Father in heaven is our Creator, so I'm not really touching on that so much here, okay? He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, okay? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created. For Him by all things were created. Remember, let us make man in our image. As some Jewish people think, the Father wasn't talking to the angels. He was talking to Yeshua HaMashiach, or who became Yeshua HaMashiach, okay? Again, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. That reminds me of my mom, because she was in charge a lot, okay? Verse 17, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the assembly. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything might be preeminent. He had to be the firstborn of creation, because He had to be the firstborn of the dead, because we have sin. That's what He had. He didn't have to do that, but He had to, because He loved us. So we need to take that seriously, okay? He is a creator just as much as the Father is. I will stand by that. I will not ever back down from that. I've heard people teach that. I actually know of a teacher who had, was in this movement at some point, where I actually got somebody else to approach him about the Messiah and the fact that he is the creator one time. And I said, look at these verses. Read what they say. One answer that when I heard this, it was like, okay, this guy just doesn't have it. You remember Doubting Thomas? He didn't believe the Messiah was who he was, okay? He said, check this out. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He didn't say, my Lord and my God. He said, my Lord and my God. That's what he said. We need to make sure everybody in these organizations, in these assemblies, knows when they come in that we don't have a Trinity going on here, okay? We've got a Father, and we got the one who became Emmanuel or Yeshua HaMashiach. But they have a spirit that came to us. Just like I told you about Jim and Joyce, and when Brad went out, the spirit of Jim and Joyce was with them, because in my case, it was, you better not do stupid stuff, because when you go home, you're going to be in bad trouble, okay? What I need to learn as a believer is to actually do good, do well, okay? That's what I have to do. In other words, grow up, Brad. You're 58 years old almost. That's what I have to do. And so I encourage everybody to do that. If we've done something wrong, let's just stop, okay? I'm not going to come to you and say, you know, I'm glad you stopped doing that stuff or whatever, or you need to quit doing that stuff. I need to worry about myself at this point. And I've had a lot of people over the years tell me, well, Brad, you did this or you did that or whatever. And it's like they don't see anything about what their issues are. Okay? And one thing I want to say, and this is not picking on anybody, but it's a time I want to insert it. We talk about in this Zechariah 8 about the children playing in the streets. We have to find a way, as an assembly of people who believe, we've got to find a way to keep our children. Okay? And this is not somebody who's trying to be cocky or whatever, saying, you don't know, I could do it. I will tell you this, if I am ever blessed to have children, I need to know how to have them before I have them. I've had people say to me that were in the organization that I attended when I started this walk, it was at least an offshoot, but probably like an offshoot of a large Church of God organization. And there was like five people in that organization. And there was a discussion one day, and I just made the comment about what it was when I was a kid. It was like, you do what your parents tell you to do. And a lady who had been in that organization said, well, wait till you have kids. And I didn't say anything or whatever. That didn't go in my house, okay? And I think I learned something as I got older. It's like, you just can't do that with a creator. You know, if I couldn't do it with my mom and my dad, I can't do it with a creator, okay? So basically what I'm saying is we've got to find a way to get consistent with the message all the time, no matter where we go. And I'm going to talk about that more in a minute. But I want you to let me finish up on the part about the Messiah, okay? In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says in verse 1, for I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized unto Moshe in the cloud and the sea and ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them or went with them, and that rock was the Messiah, okay? Well, who's this Messiah guy, okay? I'm going to go back to Exodus. The Torah, Shemot 33, verse 12. Moshe said to the Lord, that's Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. That's who he's talking to, okay? A lot of people don't seem to understand that. I mean, we just read it. He's the rock that went with them. We know he's the rock that went with them, okay? It's a situation where he's talking to Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. Yod-Heh Vav-Heh is talking to them. Moshe says, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know from whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Verse 13, now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, this is Yod-Heh Vav-Heh, he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Okay. Paul told us who that was a minute ago, okay? I, again, will not back down off that. Yeshua Messiah is the Yod-Heh Vav-Heh that was talking to Moshe during this period, okay? And I think he talked to a lot of other people, like Paul, for instance, things like that. Okay, that was then. A lot of people think things have changed now, okay? One thing I liked about when I came into this was the fact that the Torah still exists. All of it. Okay? When I went to the Church of Christ, it was a situation where, you know, I thought that the Church of Christ did it all right. In other words, no more, no less. And to be honest with you, as scriptures go, even though you have to get rid of a lot of it, the Church of Christ did not go overboard on things necessarily. But that's irrelevant because every single bit of it matters. Okay? How do I know that it's still in effect? I just read what it said in Matthew 5 a few minutes ago. Okay? But it says in Malachi 3:6, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." And in Hebrews 13:8, Yeshua, Messiah, is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now, don't worry about that right now. What I'm going to talk about now is this, and I've got some notes that I'm writing about, but I talked a minute ago about the need to be consistent together, okay? In my walk, I actually kind of came up with this last night. Mr. Wimblad actually kind of leveled me on math again. There are anywhere from 36 to 54 ways I've learned that you could observe the feast of the Creator, starting with the year, how you calculate the month, and depending on feast days. And I could actually go through the list of all of them. You basically take this number, you change to this, or you multiply this, and you've got about 36 to 54 ways. For instance, we have to be consistent about, like I said, the Messiah is the Creator just as much as the Father is, okay? There's nothing in the Scripture that you can use to say, no, it's not. I understand that the Jews don't like this, but I will also say the Jews understand the Messiah very well because I was given information by an Orthodox Jew back in the 90s that I still have. They have a lot of awareness and understanding. They do not seem to think in the Yeshua Messiah that we know today is there. Many of them don't. Some of them do. But aside from that, another thing that I have to understand is we've got to get together on when the feasts are. That starts with the year, starts with the month, and during those months that we have feasts, when to show up, okay? I'm going to say something that's probably going to be a bit argumentative with some people. We'll talk about it later, okay? That's one reason why I'm asking women, speak to your husband. We'll talk later. Or speak to somebody like Tim Kelly or something like this. I'm different than most people here when it comes to certain things. The first thing, I'm going to go back to the Church of God organization that I was attending. I learned this in like the first year I was there. They had this real different way of doing Passover, okay? Tim Kelly actually used to have, if he still does, I mean, he may still have it. He had an article on his website that was from somebody else, as I understand it. But it was Tim's way of saying, look at what this says. And it was like it is now, really. In other words, these other organizations that had this teaching had them doing all sorts of different things at different times because they saw a timeline that I would say is not there. The truth of the matter is you cannot take, for instance, the Passover and eat of this Passover sacrifice until that sacrifice has been killed in a proper manner, okay? I understand people have practices and things like that. I'm not going to get into that right now, but what I'm going to tell you is the Passover is when the Passover is, okay? That's when it is. You can't have a death, you can't have the meal until you have the sacrifice of the Passover, okay? And if you go into, what is it, Exodus 12, I think, verse 5, you could have a goat or a sheep. It didn't have to be a lamb. It could be the kid of the goats. That's according to the scriptures that I've read anyway. So basically, you've got that. That was one of the things that I was like, I didn't know about this, but somebody actually educated me on it one time, okay? And they literally told me about two things and said, okay, look at this, then look at this. And when I read it, like within 2 minutes, I was like, that's right. You could not avoid it. It's that right. And one thing I think I was blessed to understand on that was the way I was taught by my parents, okay? They didn't give you really any leeway, but they didn't force you to do it. They would explain why we're doing this stuff. And you could understand and you could pick it up. Okay? And I think parents, I would love to have that opportunity. I really think the part about the Shema that it says, you know, you're supposed to teach them when you get up, teach them when you lay down. I think that's kind of neat. Of course, you know, maybe it's kind of like Brad just talks all the time. I don't know. But it's very important, I think, and I would love to have that opportunity. And maybe I'll get an opportunity someday. And I encourage everybody that if you've got kids or got grandkids, go after it. But we've got to understand the truth. And that's why I was talking about, for instance, the Passover situation that I was in. Because it's a situation that was not correct. A person like Tim Kelly, he posts something up that somebody else wrote that shows, okay, this is the right way to go about doing this, okay? And that doesn't mean we can't continue to learn or that we know every single bit of information as soon as we learn it the first time. But it's important that we learn these things. Stone, okay, we're supposed to be hard as a rock, okay? Iron sharpens iron, okay? The rock is the Messiah, though, okay? We're still supposed to be like him. We got to sharpen each other. If somebody has a disagreement on the Passover, whatever, again, I think that it's a role situation. Talk to your husband if you're married. If you got a congregational leader, talk to them. I want you to know that you can still talk to other people out there, okay? I've talked to women over multiple times about many different things, okay? If you go in the scriptures, anybody that says women aren't supposed to be talking, they're wrong, okay? Huldah the prophetess, the Jewish leaders came to her and talked to her, okay? Deborah, she had to lead a guy who didn't seem to want to do much, okay? Anna talked about the Messiah in the courts of the temple, okay? She's teaching people, okay? Women are told to teach the women in the church. I've learned from women myself. There's a role for all that, but that's what happened, okay? Women can teach men just like men can teach women. And yes, number one is the example, okay? That's where Brad Dunn has to get better, okay? But you can also talk to people, and we should talk to each other. But we need to understand, okay, am I off the road in the ditch here? Because if I'm off the road in the ditch and I'm trying to teach you what's going on, that's really bad news, okay? And I've been around that several times. You may end up in discussions in your groups of people in your community. I was a part of or associated with two doctrinal discussions in that group that I was attended. One when I was there, one after I was there. It was a situation where I provided the material, for the discussion. Okay? Both times, the people who were on the one side that the organization did not like were not at the doctrinal discussion. If you read what it says in Acts 15, both sides were there. Both sides need to be there. Okay? In my case, I submitted one doctrinal discussion one time. It went to a committee. What happened? The elder wasn't on the committee. There were lots chosen, if you will. They had it at the elder's house. He communicated about it all he wanted to, because I had communicated with another person to him and another man. They didn't bring us over. They brought their crew over. The elder talked, and then they came back and said, no, we're not going to do this. No explanation, no reason why, no nothing, okay? I may have been wrong, although I'm pretty sure I'm not. The thing is, that was wrong. That was improper running of the assembly. Okay, and there are responsibilities in the assembly. And guys, I know we get together and I know we talk. When we assemble with the Creator in our midst, we have to do it exactly like we're supposed to do it, okay? Now, doctrinal discussions are different, but what I'm going to talk about is 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Timothy, really 1 through 3. This is going to be different than a lot of people. In it, and I've got a lot of research. I will be more than happy to give anybody my website that they can read these things, because there's a couple of articles that I wrote or had a part in writing, okay? And I am willing to be sharpened as iron sharpened iron. But be willing, if you're disagreeing with me, to come, let me know, and then let's talk. And it's going to take some time, okay? If you just don't want to do it, that's fine. Say, forget Brad, he's dumb, don't worry about it. If you want to yell at me once and then walk away, that's fine too. But I'm talking about if I'm wrong, I'm asking for you to come tell me, all right? When it comes to the assembly, I believe what 1 Corinthians 14 says, okay? It talks about prophets speaking and everything. The entire chapter I agree with. And one reason I do, if you look in verse 33, Paul said this, as in all the assemblies of the saints. It wasn't for Corinth. I've heard that a lot. It was not for Corinth. He said, as in all the assemblies of the saints. And what he says before that is this, the prophets are subject to the prophets. Okay? In other words, a prophet knows how to control himself. That's what he does. Okay? If you have a guy that comes into the assembly that says, you know, he's speaking in a tongue we don't know, Paul tells us what to do. He needs to be quiet. It doesn't say that the Creator is not with him, okay? It doesn't say a word about the Creator not being with him. It says he does not need to speak because he cannot speak and people understand. It's all about understanding, okay? That's what it is. Again, the prophets, the spirit of the prophets is subject to those prophets. It's under their control, okay? It's not some kind of ecstasy, you know, down in Southeast Tennessee, the Pentecostals or whatever, where they just make noise and stuff like that. It is not. I'm responsible for every single thing I'm saying right now, okay? And I could be under a death penalty. So I need to make sure that I know what I'm talking about right now, okay? We need to be able to do that in our assemblies. Obviously, the big thing in that chapter is what about women, okay? I think women can speak. I've already said that. I understand what Paul wrote in that chapter, okay? And it is different than most people. I think the role of the women is to be silent, like it says, and they should talk to their men at home. If they don't have a man at home, there's a way to do it. And as I point out in one of my essays, there were 7 men that were made deacons, if you will, in the early church time period, okay? The apostles were discussing things. They were teaching people and everything. The Grecian widows didn't have the Jewish widow type situation. They weren't taken care of like the Jewish women were. Jews know how to do that, okay? They're very good at it. The Grecian widows were different. Those men that were selected were godly men, okay? First of all, the apostles that were teaching could help those women understand things if they needed, and they could learn things from those women, okay? Just because you're talking to somebody teaching does not mean that you cannot learn from them. If you think you can't, then you're already in bad news land right now, okay? Don't be that way. We have to be ready to learn. I've talked to people millions of times, and I've learned things even though I thought that I knew everything. Those 7 men that were chosen could also help those women, okay? It is not because of anything that means they're dumb, they're stupid, or whatever. Women can teach, like I said, hold of the prophets, Devorah, Anna. Do you think Sarah, Rivka, people like that were able to teach? Yes, they were able to teach. My mom was able to teach. Yes, she was a Protestant, okay? But I learned a lot from my mom. And I learned a lot of things about God, even though she was limited in her understanding. I can learn from any woman in this room, okay? There are times when I can. There are times when other things need to occur, okay? Let me move over quickly to 1 Timothy 2. Well, actually, it's really 1 through 3, if you ask me. In 1 Timothy 2, when he talks about Paul saying, I want, you know, men to lift up holy hands everywhere, it's talking not only about just when you're at home or whatever, it's talking about the assembly. And the thing is when you go into chapter 3, it's talking about, you know, if you desire to be an elder or something like that, a deacon. They have to be specific people, okay? And I've got in the essay that I wrote, again, I'll let anybody read it, there are direct commands, like you must do this. The Greek words, the way it was said, the case of the word, if you will, it's like a situation. You have to do this. Like, for instance, here I am, Brad Dunn. I think I'm smart and I think I'm great, okay? I'm J. Bradley Dunn. I cannot be a deacon and I cannot be an elder, even if I want to be, okay? Once again, I cannot be a deacon and I cannot be an elder if I want to be because of what it says in the Torah. In 1 Corinthians 14, it said, in verse 37, he goes, you have to remember, this is the Torah of the Creator. I didn't write it. It's there, okay? If you look in Timothy, it talks about this is why we're putting roles in this way on people, okay? When you get out of that assembly, though, you don't need to have another group just so other people, like, you don't need another situation where Brad gets to go be elder on this. It doesn't work. It's not true, and it's not right. And if I ever did something like that, I actually really need to be struck down by the Creator immediately, okay? We need to take the roles that we have, okay? That's what we need to do. And the reason I'm saying all that is because we've got you know how over the last month, 5 weeks, a lot of people have come to religion in our country? Because a guy who was pretty smart got killed for what he believed, okay? I don't know if guys, y'all know this, but he's got a book that's coming out in December. He's writing about observance of the Sabbath. The guy evidently was coming to some truth. Now, how much he knew, I don't know, but I never watched the guy. I learned this stuff from my mom when I was a kid. She's the one who taught me when I was a kid so much. Not that my dad was doing nothing. It was just my mom was really good at it. She was a teacher anyway. She taught before we were born. She taught after we were born. She went back and got recertified for English, got certified to teach French, did that, and then led at least 2 field trips with other people to France. My mom was brilliant, okay? She taught me like you wouldn't believe, just like my dad has taught me. This man that did this turned a lot of people on. And so what I'm telling to you leaders of your congregations and stuff like that, the creepy older single guy is not going to be at the forefront, okay? We need the guys who are leaders. You're already there. You're good at what it is. There's going to be people that are going to be looking at this stuff. And, you know, forget all the AI stupid stuff on the internet, okay? We need to get together and we need to get these things worked out. And we need to learn these things. We need to get our feet straightened up. One more thing on the iron sharpens iron thing. Let everybody know I am of the belief, and I believe part of this about from what I read, I believe that Pentecost or Shavuot is done the way the Jewish people do it, okay? I would love to talk to anybody about that sometime. I've written an essay. I would want you to read about it if I could. If you want to read it, I would love, and I'd love to hear from you. The truth of the matter is I think I can back it up. And yes, iron sharpens iron. But I will tell you right now, you have my word that if I tell you something and you tell me that, no, Brad, you're not right, and you persuade me, it'll be just like when I was taught this before. It'll be, you're right, I was wrong, okay? I'm not going to stick with what I've stuck with for about 30 years now, okay? That's irrelevant and stupid, number one. And again, I got that from my parents. It's like, why do you continue to do this? There is no verifiable excuse or justifiable saying that I can say that this is not what I want to do, so I'm not going to do it. I actually learned how to do that when I was a kid. It's like, there's no reason I can give you that says I'm not going to do this. I just don't want to do it. Okay, that's not going to get you in good shape very long, and I didn't do it very much with my parents at all, because you know what would have happened if I did that. What I'm saying is we've got an opportunity now, and the creepy older single guy is not going to be the lead. We're going to have leaders that do this all the time. They're leaders of their families. They may not be leaders of a congregation. They're leaders of their families. You may be able to get some of those people. They may be coming in, well, I thought we were going to go to church on Sunday. Well, okay, we don't do that very often, okay? We're in an assembly today right now. But what I'm trying to say is that it's a situation where we have a different way of life, and we need to learn how to do it. So what I'm saying, and I'm closing up here, is we have to go about being on the same page with everybody. I calculated, Mr. Winblad has helped me straighten it up last night, and so I was able to go home and figure it. Like I said earlier, 36 to 54 ways that people that I've been around in these assemblies over the years could observe a day when we were supposed to be there. Okay? I'm not saying that every day was that way. But it should be 0 days where we're apart from each other, because we understand, and we understand how we're supposed to act when we get there. Going back to Acts 15, there was a huge discussion about what happened. They have to be circumcised. No, they do not. Well, to be honest with you, if you're a Gentile and you wanted to be circumcised for health reasons, I'm not going to worry about that, okay? The truth of the matter is if you're of Israel, then you need to be circumcised. Regardless, you need to be circumcised of the heart, okay? That's what we have to be, okay? So Brad Dunn doesn't need an attitude about, well, I'm going to teach people and I'm going to do that or whatever. We have to all be that way. And so what I'm trying to say is you may have some doctrinal things that go on in this figuring out of things, okay? But again, you have an opportunity in your community, in your assembly, to do something. Nobody's come to the Messiah, I think, anywhere near this much since I've been alive. A lot of people are going to end up in the wrong direction, okay? Let's not be the ones that let them go that way. You guys are sitting here and y'all know how to act. We may need to learn more things. We need to correct ourselves. But you guys can be people that are used by the Creator to bring people in to this true belief. So what I'm going to end up with today, again, is iron sharpens iron, and I expect I have to talk to you. Women, again, I don't want to be offensive. I'm saying talk to your husbands. Talk to a person like, say, a Tim Kelly. We'll talk later, okay? I'm happy to talk about it. But I would have some things I would have you read, if you would, because it'll take my side and give it to you. And you wouldn't have to listen to me being annoying anyway. It's a situation where you can say, okay, Brad is a lot better on paper than he is in real life. And then you can learn about what I said. I think I wrote it pretty well, mainly because my mom was an English teacher, and you're supposed to do it right. You're supposed to tell them right. But I encourage you one more time, and think of this as an exhortation. I don't want to have it to be a correction or an admonition. I want to exhort you to go out and to be godly, okay? Let's go back. Let's find our children. Even if they're gone, long gone, if we learn these things, we get ourselves solidified, maybe we learn some things new, then let's go back out and let's talk to them about it and say, you know, maybe I was wrong, or maybe I didn't do this hard enough or well enough. Okay, I'm going to go back and do it. Your children are still your gift from God. Go get them. If you've got young children, teach them right. Keep them in there. Don't let them go. Don't ever give up on them. I may have been wrong for many, many years, okay? Okay, it's time for me to get right. So what I'm saying is I encourage you to do the same thing. Now, once again, I'm going to finish up. Ladies, again, I'll talk with you later. But if there are any men that have questions or comments, please let me know.